This is our exam review for Mitzvah 1, spring 2012. Okay, I'm just going to go start at the beginning of the semester and go through. The final is almost written. I have a really strong draft. I haven't done my last review to tweak it, but it's pretty done, okay? I'm truly looking at large concepts. So minute detailing studying is not going to help you at this point. I want to see that you've grasped major concepts of the course. And I want you to be able to know what a nurse does in a given situation based on nursing knowledge, knowledge of the disease state, right, and your interactions with patients. So I want you at this point to be able to demonstrate the ability to put all that together. And that's very challenging to write a test that'll show that. Okay? But what I haven't done is got into the minutiae of everything we've talked about all semester. What I hope to test you on is what I want you to take away from this course, which is the very beginning practice of a med-surg nurse. Okay? That's the goal. And if you remember, we opened this entire course with a discussion of what nursing is in the 21st century. What's the role of the nurse? Right, don't forget that. We talked about the nursing process. What does it do? What are the specific parts of the nursing process meant to uncover or meant to guide you in addressing? How do they affect patient care? This course is on adults, right? So we're mainly focusing on the disease states of adults and the nursing care. I don't ask about primary, secondary, and tertiary levels of prevention specifically, but I expect a basic knowledge of prevention of disease, right, and treatment, okay, and screenings, and all the risk factors, whether modifiable or non-modifiable. In general, I want you to know what that is. I don't think I ask anything about IVs, okay? Surgery, I do have a few questions on surgery. What are the different, what happens in the different stages of surgery? When does the nursing care for a surgical patient begin? You know when. What goes on in post-op, right? The PACU, what is the most important thing that a nurse has to be sure that happens there? The patient has to keep breathing, right? So if I ask you, what's the most important thing? You put pain, you're wrong. Because if they're not breathing, I don't care how much pain they're in, they're dead. All right, so these are the kind of concepts I want you to bring forward. So that's not a complicated thing, right? That's real basic. So that's kind of what I want. That's an example of what I want you to bring forward. We touched on pain, too, in this area, and the nurse's responsibility in pain control. What is it? I know that there's a question on the final about what is the goal of pain control? Are you going to administer pain meds just when the patient asks? Or are you going to want to maintain a level of painlessness, of lack of pain? And the answer, of course, is you want the maintenance, right? You don't want these spikes in pain. Your job is to maintain the pain. And if you remember, we're generally given a whole page of pain meds post-surgically. You've seen that now and hopefully worked with it. I'm hoping that a lot of your clinical experiences will mesh and they'll guide you in this final. You'll be able to say, oh yeah, my post-op patient, yeah, that nurse before me just kept giving them pain meds when they asked for it, you know? It'd be much better if we had them on a dosage that was constant, or the PCA. Where they can keep a constant level of pain med, right? Rather than wake up from a nap in excruciating pain. I have a question on the exam from that handout about the State Board of Nursing and nurses with substance abuse. Remember that? You got that right? Yes? Yeah. The State Board of Nursing and Substance Abuse. So give that a look. What is the state of California do when a nurse is found to have an abuse problem? And what are the nurse's options in that case? How is that handled? We didn't do genetics at all. Infection is big. Okay? There are a lot of basic concepts that surround infection. There's absolutely a question on nosocomial infection. There's a question on iatrogenic disease states. Remember that it's a fight between the multiplication of the bacteria or virus in the body and the body's ability to fight it. Okay, that's a basic concept. And antibiotics or antifungals or antivirals help the immune system in its own fight. Remember the difference between inflammation and immunity. Know the difference between immunities that we're born with and immunities that we acquire, active and passive immunity. Do we do work to acquire immunity? Okay. Does our body do work? There's definitely a question on immunity. And several on infection. The concept of infection is very much a thread throughout the course, if you notice. We see it lots of times, right? We see it when we're talking about post-surgically. We see it in the beginning. We just talk about infections. We see it when we talk about pneumonia. It carries through. It's a big thread in this course. So make sure you have a sound understanding of the very basics of infection. With that good, grounded understanding, you should be able to then apply it to our practice in medical surgical nursing, okay? So if anything, what you might want to do is get into a discussion group and talk about that. That concept, the concept of infection, how does that impact practice? That's going to be much better studying than going to the book and reading about infection. Because what I'm going to ask is that depth of knowledge that we'll be able to demonstrate if you can explain infection and infection control in the hospital to a friend. Right. So at this point, that little tiny book reading studying is not going to help, because I'm asking for the grasp of the larger picture. Right. And generally we get that through discussion, through talking, through observing, and you've been working on this all semester. And now this is a culmination. This is not the kind of final where you're going to cram for it. It's not going to help you. Because we've grown, and I've watched you go beautifully this semester. You've grown in your knowledge and your capability and your comfort in the hospital, and hopefully your good performance on this final is going to show that. Cancer. Not a lot about cancer. Simply understand what cancer is. What is it? And what's metastasis? What's a primary cancer versus a secondary cancer? Very general. We talked about GI disorders. I know there's a question on GERD on the exam. Basically, what's going on those very common GI disorders? Why is every hospitalized patient, or almost every hospitalized patient, prescribed an antacid? You know that? We see them all the time. They have Prilosec, they have even IV antacid. Why are they doing that? Why do we want to neutralize that stomach acid? What's going on? That's no one's job. Okay. Bowel disorders. We talked, and we're going to move this into... See, what did we talk about? Hold on. We talked about bowel disorders and the nurse's role, right? We're mainly responsible for elimination, aren't we, in the hospital? Why are people constipated in the hospital? What do we do for them? What's your first line of attack? When are you concerned about it? What happens if there's blood in the stool? What are you seeing? And then how is that going to tie into oxygenation? I'm going to tie a lot of pieces of knowledge together. So I may describe a person with a GI bleed. You may think, oh, GI bleed, that's a GI problem. They'll probably have pain in the abdomen. No, their symptom is lightheadedness. Why is that? Why would they be lightheaded with a GI bleed? Right. So those are the concepts I want you to pull together. Okay? Not pain in the belly, but a lack of oxygenation because the blood's going out. So that's a kind of complex understanding that I want to see. I want you to demonstrate. Okay? And you know that. You know that, right? You know that. We've talked on and on and on about the blood and oxygenation, how important that is. So now apply it to something like a GI bleed. So pretty basic with the GI system. There's not a lot. We work with elimination. We work with some disease states, pretty minor. Our big deal is if there's a bleed. I don't know. I recently, like every week, it seems that somebody has a patient with a gastrointestinal bleed. Have you been seeing more of that? Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe we're just seeing more of them. Or maybe we're understanding them a little better. Yeah, so you've seen it in the hospital. Okay, good. Bring it forward. Elimination and diet. Post-surgically, what's the progression on a diet? Okay. How does a diet progress? Do we start them off right away with solid foods? Why? Are you going to expect to hear bowel sounds on a patient right after surgery? No. Okay, that's knowledge. Carry forward. Apply it. Okay, so I think you know this stuff. All right? I really feel you do. But what I want to see is bring it together, put it into context, and be able to answer the question. So if that's discussion, if that's practicing NCLEX questions, those are the kinds of things I'd rather have you do to study than just... If you know that you're a bit deficient in some area, certainly put your focus there as well. But if you feel you've followed along, you've got a good handle on most of the material, great, good. Now start your application process. Make sure you're good in answering NCLEX questions. Make sure you're good at pulling these concepts together. Because I try to have at least two concepts in every question. So we're not going to have any straight answer questions. Very few, just straight, give me the answer. It's going to be putting it together to solve the puzzle, to come up with the right answer. I try to have at least two different concepts in the class come together. Sometimes there are three, not just one. Where in this test today, we had a lot of one concept questions. It's because, as you know, the body is very complex. Urinary tract, UTI, what do you see? You see cloudy urine, right? Pretty simple. What are the manifestations? All sorts of things. What causes UTIs? Someone dehydrated is going to have a higher chance of a UTI, right? Yeah, women have a higher chance of UTI. A dehydrated woman is going to be much more likely than a man that's well hydrated, right? Just an example. This is concepts we're pulling together. Diabetes. Oh, one thing. Also know the anatomy. So someone that has a kidney infection, right? Where's that pain going to be? Right in the flank. And that could very well have started from a UTI. So I know there's a question on there regarding how does a patient know where it's when he really has to worry about a UTI or a urinary tract infection? What would your answer be? What would be the most severe? When you have to really start getting worried, what would you see in a patient? What would you have? And how's that going to manifest? Kidney problems, how are they going to manifest? Pardon me? No, that would be lower. Kidney, now we're way up. Pardon me? Lower back pain. Yeah, absolutely. And probably a fever, right? Okay, he's going to have the infections. Yeah, UTI that's gone up. But sometimes UTIs are asymptomatic until they're in the kidneys. So you may have a UTI and not know it. Now you have this flaming kidney infection. And you're going to see all the infection symptoms and the pain there. So then you know it's really bad, right? Okay, that's when you really have to start learning. Cloudy urine is a pretty simple deal, right? We can take care of that. Kidney, so think about the anatomy. Yeah, the disease goes right up, just like the same in the lungs, right? Goes right down. And the urinary tract goes right up, right? Good analogy. So think beyond the immediate UTI, all right? Yes, you're right. Go further, okay? How's that disease going to progress if left untreated? And what manifestations will the patient show? So if you're educating someone about a UTI, tell them that they're really in trouble when. Because sometimes they may be asymptomatic. Okay, diabetes. What's the basis for diabetes? Really just simple deal. You're balancing two things, right? Insulin and sugar in the blood, period. What are the symptoms of hypoglycemia? When are you going to give that injection, that fast-acting? Why is it important to not give it until you know the food's coming? And what happens when your patient decides not to eat the food? You've given the injection. I want you to be able to apply those concepts. Knowing that what we're talking about is a balance between insulin and sugar in the blood, period. That's it. So I can tell you that, and that's fine. You can take that in. Okay, now apply those concepts to your practice. Okay? So yeah, you know that. But don't just memorize that. That's not going to give you a right answer. You've got to work with that knowledge and know how to apply it. Okay? You know what the biggest problem with giving insulin is, right? It's the biggest side effect, negative side effect from insulin. Hypoglycemia. The vascular system. What's for Child's Triangle? I don't think I ask it in so many words, but know the concept. For Child's Triangle? Know the concept of it. Know what... Why are those three components important to set up a blood clot? And why is it such a big deal? And what do we do to prevent it? It's very much nursing action. We prevent blood clots. Why patients are up and walking a day after their hip surgery, right? As cruel as that may be. Okay. Know the difference between a vascular problem and a venous problem. I mean, a venous problem and an arterial problem. How's that manifest? Know how that looks in the skin. How's that going to look on your patient? What about the heart? The heart has valves, and the heart has muscle that must remain strong. And that muscle must remain oxygenated as well. Now, cardiac infarction is when blood is cut off to part of that muscle. Okay? That's a heart attack. The valves are crucial. What do you hear in your assessment when a valve's not working? And how does that sound? Because it's a backflow. Regurgitation. We talked about one common valve problem, right, that's brought on by an infection. Remember what that was? Rheumatic fever, right? And what's the causative agent? Leads to valve replacement. So know that progression. How does that happen? And what other problems are we concerned about? Someone that has a heart murmur. What do we have to be careful of? What kind of education are you going to do with that patient? What's pericarditis? How does, remember the anatomy of the heart and all the problems that can happen with it. So you have the heart itself as an organ that needs to exist and work. Okay? It needs to be oxygenated to work well. The other thing is, how does the heart pump? I mean, how does it contract? What triggers a contraction? Electrical stimulation, right? Yeah. And what happens when it's not contracting correctly in a nice rhythmic motion? If that electrical current isn't being generated in a rhythmic manner, or if the muscle isn't able to pick it up so that the heart can pump in a rhythmic manner. This may be because of a post-MI. Maybe some dead tissue that's going to make it all crazy. Then what do we do? What do we do if that's our treatment? Pardon me? Huh? Medication, sure. For AFib, right? Get it in pumping. Very common. Further on, it could be a pacemaker. To make sure that stimulation is right. What happens when the heart is in AFib? Or any kind of a weird rhythm that you're hearing. How's that going to affect the output? the decrees of God. So what might, how's that going to look in the body? What manifestations is your patient going to have? Weakness, and what might happen to the heart rate? Might go up, right? Increase. Remember my mother who's looking at her blood pressure saying everything's great? What's your pulse rate? Oh, it's a little high. It's like 120. Okay, and she's in the ED. Okay, so how are you going to educate? Remember the compensatory mechanisms of the body. Think about that. And that's going to directly reflect in your care. What patient are you going to be the most worried about? All right, so know how the body's going to compensate and what you're going to see as a nurse that's going to alert you to a problem. For instance, an elderly woman who has a history of blood pressure problems and has normal blood pressure now all of a sudden has an amazing heartbeat. Something is really wrong here, right? It's not normal for an 80-year-old woman to have 120 heartbeat. So what's that telling you? Expecting to know, right? What happens if the respirations go up? What's the body trying to do? You walk in and your patient's, you know, breathing really fast. And the O2 sats are going down. What's going on? What would you expect the pulse rate to be? Yeah, it's going to go up, right? It's going to compensate. And what are you worried about? How long can that heart hold up? Know the relationship between the respiratory system and the cardiac system. And again, how's that going to manifest in disease states? And what are you as a nurse going to watch out for? I think I have a question or two about what patient are you going to tend to first? And this is the thinking I want you to bring in to answer those questions correctly. Who's the most important in this case? What are some big red flags? Because that's a lot of what we do in our practice, as I hope you're seeing in your practices. What's first? What's the most important? Where do I put my efforts? How do I prioritize my practice? Okay, so we talked a lot about, we talked about risk for cardiac disease, heart failure. What about the lymphatic system? What's the purpose of it? Yeah. What's it do? We talked about blood disorders. Know the words. Okay? When there's too many red blood cells, not enough red blood cells, so that when I ask you a question, you'll be able to understand the verbiage. So another thing that's important, and you've come so far, I am so proud of you in pre-conference and post-conference with my groups and everyone I've talked to. These words are now just rolling off your tongue beautifully. You're presenting your patients with such grace and skill and knowledge. It's very impressive. You have taken on this vocabulary so well. But make sure you know it, all right? Because I'm not going to answer questions if you ask me about vocabulary now. If they're in this exam, I expect you to know it. And you've come a long way with vocab. And again, talking, just talking, is going to help. Just reviewing Anklik's questions, just keeping the words in your mind. Yeah. Anything you don't know, look it up. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Because I find that that's the problem at this stage in your education, too. You'll accidentally mix words up. And I'll say, no, that's not what you mean. And it'll be a similar word. You go, oh, yeah. Because they're all new to you, so now you're having a bit of a trouble getting them all straight. So make sure you got them all straight for the final, okay? So that's, again, if you're discussing things with your friends and you go, wait, that's not the right word. Is that what you mean? Oh, no, that's not what I mean. Oh, that's a different word. What is that? Okay? So again, you're not going to know that you don't know unless you go out there and test it. And hopefully working with your clinical instructors, you'll have that opportunity too. Because I'm sure you've all been in clinical or when someone goes, no, it's not that, it's this, and just corrected your verbiage, which is wonderful. You've come so far. But it's still new vocabulary. I learn new words every day in practice. There's so many. They just keep coming. We talked about upper respiratory diseases, right? It's pretty simple. They just start in the nose and go down, don't they? Then they become lower respiratory diseases. The most common upper respiratory disease is a cold. It's a virus. But if you don't have the strength in your immune system to fight a cold, what's going to happen? It's going to keep going down. Eventually pneumonia, which is what? What's the definition of pneumonia? We talked about some kinds of pneumonia. Right? Know the anatomy so you kind of know what's going on. What are you going to hear? If someone has a upper respiratory infection, are you going to hear crackles? No, probably not, right? Congestion is going to be in their face, in their sinuses. If they have pneumonia, you're going to have crackles. What are our big concern about post-op patients? It's aspiration pneumonia. You learned all about this in Jura, right? A lot about aspiration pneumonia. It's a huge deal. And that comes into when we help patients eat, when we decide what their progression of diet from surgery. Okay, that's huge. That one concept of aspiration pneumonia, we could talk about it for a whole morning, right? It has so many ramifications. So that's the kind of thing I want you to be able to do. Okay, aspiration pneumonia, woo, okay, what am I going to do as a nurse? All right, what precautions am I going to take? Talked about gas exchange. Where does a gas exchange take place? Two places, period, right? Where do we pick up oxygen? Where in the lungs? Right, where do we give it off and pick up carbon dioxide? In the capillaries and the tissues. Simple concept, okay? Right? And then the blood comes through the heart and out to the body. Comes back, drops off the carbon dioxide, picks up oxygen and goes out. And what's doing this pickup? It's the red blood cells, right? That are what? What it's our name for, an oxygenated red blood cell. Right. And so, in the labs, we're looking at hemoglobin and hematocrit. Hemoglobin is the one that has to do with oxygenation. Does hematocrit have anything to do with oxygenation? Oh, maybe, because it tells you the percentage of red blood cells, so it might. Because without them, you haven't got it. So they're certainly related, right? Because if you haven't got the red blood cells there, they're not going to be able to pick up oxygen and become hemoglobin. Correct. So there is a relationship there, but it's a fine distinction. Hemoglobin is when they're attached and carrying the oxygen, and there are some times when they can't. Right? There's some conditions where a red blood cell can't pick up oxygen, and there's times when we have a deficiency in red blood cells. What would be a case where we have plenty of blood and not enough red blood cells? What's that going to be called? Anemia, right? We might have not enough blood, too. We might be dehydrated. Okay? But if you're looking at lab values and everything's diluted, the patient's probably hypervolemic. A lot of volume, not enough blood, not enough of the components in the blood. We talked about this last semester when I came and talked to you. Okay? So I'm hoping you've taken those concepts from fundamentals and moved them forward too, and grown them, right? So gas exchange disorders, people can know the interrelationship between the heart and the lungs. Make sure you have that down. How do they work? Skeletal muscular, which we did today. You got that down, right? Yeah. Ask very little about it. I think there are three questions. Pretty much comparable to what we had today on exam. Again, with the cranial stuff, the neurologic. I don't think I ask anything about men on the final. About men, the reproductive system. I don't think there's anything on that on the final. Okay, that was just kind of a threw it in just to, because I want you to be comfortable with the topic. You're going to talk a lot about women in maternal child health. You don't get to talk about men. And men are becoming more and more open to discussion about their sexuality, and it can really throw you. You know, when someone starts talking about the ED drug and how it's not effective, I want you to be more comfortable with the topic, which is why we just kind of delved into it a little bit. But there aren't any large concepts there that are necessarily important. It's more just a comfort level that I want you to have with the topic. All right, questions? Yeah. 50. 2 points each. I'll give you a full 2 hours, okay, which is real generous. Or I'll get, close to. That's a long time. We're only supposed to give you a minute a question. That's more than 2 minutes. What else?
Do you want to see for that kind
of. That's a perfect example of too much, right? Too much knowledge. I mean, no, I'm not going to ask you the stages. Do you need to know what happens? Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, don't go anywhere yet. Yeah. Oh, do you have any more questions? Email me, all right? One of you, I don't remember, Anna Marie, did a great job of emailing me her questions about this exam. If you email me some of your misunderstanding or something you're not real clear on, give me the opportunity to help you be successful, okay? Give me a chance. If you say, this isn't clear, can you I'm kind of confused here. Okay, let me know. All right, we have a little one of your classmates has something she wants to do.